This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. That's a song from the 1968 album Music from Big Pink, the first album recorded by the band. The band's final performance was documented in the 1978 film The Last Waltz, directed by their fan Martin Scorsese. The Last Waltz is back in theaters. The DVD version featuring unreleased footage will be released May 7th. There's also a new Last Waltz 4-CD box set containing previously unreleased performances. The concert featured such guest performers as Neil Young, Van Morrison, Joni Mitchell, and Bob Dylan. The band got its name when it was Dylan's backup band in the mid-60s. The band played on Bob Dylan's first electric tour when they were booed by fans. We're going to hear from two members of the band, Levon Helm and Robbie Robertson. Robertson was the band's guitarist and chief songwriter. He's now an executive at DreamWorks. I spoke with him in 1994. What was it like for you in the early days of playing with Dylan when you would often get booed by fans who thought that he should stay a folky?
Well, there was times when I wasn't sure that I disagreed with him, that maybe he should stay a folky, because we got booed all over the United States. We went to Australia, they booed us. All over Europe, they booed us. And we were getting better. When it first started out, it was pretty rough, but it was actually starting to take form and find itself. But the audience was kind of on a mission. You would come to these concerts more to partake in the ritual of booing than you would really to listen to the music. But it was like we were the bad guys in the situation. And there was a lot of people around saying, listen, you better get rid of these guys. I mean, they're ruining everything. And I have to I have to commend him on just his patience or else his hard-headedness. I'm not sure which, but he stuck by it, and he believed in it.
Now, how did the band start establishing its identity nationally as a group separate from Dylan?
Well, after we did this tour, we moved up to Woodstock, and we got this house up there, a place really just to go and do some writing, and like a clubhouse kind of place, and where we would just congregate every day. And we went there, and we started writing some songs, and Bob would come every day, and we would hang out, and it was just kind of a very relaxed music situation. There was just completely no pressure in what we were doing. And Bob started writing some songs, I started writing some songs, Richard Manuel was doing some writing. And out of this came the Basement Tapes, the infamous Basement Tapes, I guess, that became like one of the first largely bootleg records ever. And then after that, from these songs, the band recorded its first album, Music from Big Pink.
The band, early on anyways, didn't really perform. It was a very studio-oriented group, and the studio was basically in the basement. Were you tired of performing by then?
Well, we did. I mean, when Music from Big Pink came out, we didn't go out and do concerts with that record. because one of the members of the band, Rick Danko, was in a car accident, and he broke his neck, and he was in traction for months, and we couldn't go out. And something happened. There was, all of a sudden, it was like we were like this mysterious group that made records and never showed up. And when we did, they were these people all dressed in black and looking like, you know, Pennsylvania Dutch people or something, as opposed to rock and roll musicians. And so it just became that kind of
aura.
You know, aura around the group. And then after we did our second album, then we went and played. I mean, we played at Woodstock, we played at Watkins Glen, we played at the Isle of Wight. We played our first concert at Winterland in San Francisco and our last concert there when we did The Last Waltz. But we did a lot of tours in between, and maybe we didn't do it as much as some do, but we did do it a lot, and we'd already done it a lot. We'd been on the road for 8 years before we made music from Big Pink.
When did you think it was time to leave the band, you personally?
Well, when we did The Last Waltz, I thought that we had run the gamut then, and something was telling me in my gut that that there wasn't much more that we were going to be able to get out of this. And rather than it just see it kind of just dribble out or it become, you know, an unpleasant situation, like, because I was seeing a lot of other groups around breaking up, and it was not under the most pleasant terms, and I thought, we got to try to avoid this if we possibly can. So that's when I suggested to the other guys that we bring this thing, hopefully, to kind of a classy finale, and I thought of this idea of doing The Last Waltz, where we can kind of pay homage to a lot of the people that had influenced us and that we had a lot of respect for in music, and I thought something needs to be done here to kind of just, you know, up the grade of this, whatever it is. And that's when I talked to Martin Scorsese about doing it. And
did you know him already?
I had met him when he did Mean Streets, but I didn't know him very well. When I met with him and told him about the project, and I told him what I had in mind, because he was saying, geez, you know, this is not a great time for me. I'm in the middle of doing another movie, and you know, you've caught me at, you know, so when I told him what I had in mind, he said, what am I going to do? I have to do this, you know, and so he proceeded to figure out a way to do it, and we did it on Thanksgiving up in Winterland, and what he did was he made it like he was going to take a little rest, a little Thanksgiving vacation, and we all just slipped up to San Francisco and shot the movie.
Robbie Robertson recorded in 1994.